Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they ran to him, held his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life.
We began the program today with a reading from the New Testament, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. It was Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10, the story of the resurrection. And today in the Front Porch Talk studio, we have a returning guest host. Her name is Pastor Margaret Michael, and she's going to help us walk through this day, kind of an afterglow of hope. What do I mean by that? Well, we're a week past the Easter celebration, the resurrection of Jesus coming out of that grave, and we think that deserves at least two Sundays, because it is truly a double blessing to know that he came out of the grave to call us out of ours. So because he lives, we can live. Pastor Margaret, we hope everything's going well with you and your family. And give us greetings, and then we'll roll right into this idea of hope.
Well, it's an honor to be here today with you and to look into the hope that has been made available to us through Easter and the great resurrection.
True, true. It's all true. And Grayson, if you want to start us out a little bit, just talking a little bit about hope and the afterglow of Easter, and the fact that without the resurrection, we would be a people most hopeless.
Yes, Dad. I know we mentioned last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, about how Jesus is our hope. And if he had never rose from the grave, he wouldn't have been any different than any other prophet that's died. Because nobody else besides Jesus has ever raised themselves from the dead. We've mentioned there's other people that Jesus has caused to raise from the dead, but there's nobody else that has raised himself from the dead. And that's what gives us hope, knowing that he is who he said he is, and we can trust in him and trust his promises and know that when he says he's coming back one day for us and to take us to be in heaven with him and the Father, that we can lean on that and trust in that. And that's what gives us hope, and it's the hope worth living for.
Amen to that, brother. I'll take that to the bank. That's good stuff. And you know what I've come to know is he gave us hope over sin, over death, over hell. I mean, he's given us hope in all directions. I love the music that's associated with the resurrection season. That Bill Gaither song that we recently heard sung at Billy Graham's funeral, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." And so that's some of that resurrection music. Now, there's another old hymn we used to sing. "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." And I want to turn that to Pastor Margaret. Pastor Margaret, just from a personal standpoint, tell us a little bit about the hope that is yours in Jesus Christ. You can share testimony. You can share illustration. Just whatever's on your heart. When you think about this idea, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Now, you've been with me to the Holy Land. You've been there to the empty grave. You've been in Jerusalem. But I don't think you really had to go there in order to know that he was alive in your life.
Well, that's Very true. I didn't have to go to the Holy Land to figure it out. I think I was just having a conversation this morning with our women as we had our women's prayer time, and we were talking just about dealing with the things of life that come at us and on the hard days, and maybe figuring out that something might not be quite right in our life. And at one time, I probably wouldn't have went back to make amends. But when you have Jesus alive in your life, and you begin to respond differently. I said to the ladies when we were talking, the reason I know that the Lord is alive is because he's working on me. He brings conviction, and he wants me to have a better life than what I've had before. And his mercies are new every day in that journey. So, yes, I know that he is alive. He gives me peace in the midst of adversity. It's not that all the suffering goes away when you become a Christian, but he gives us peace in the midst of the storm. So that's how I know that he is alive in my heart. He's real on a daily basis. I could look to him, and he gives me strength. He gives me hope, and he gives me peace to walk in places that I really never even imagined that I would be able to walk.
Yeah, it's a miracle that follows hope. Just things that we were able to experience in life that were never even on our radar before. Because hopelessness brings despair, and it really kills any vision of what God may have for us up ahead. But hope itself, it dispels despair and gives us a future worth living. And God brings so much beauty into our lives when we are born again in Jesus Christ. Because he came out of the grave, we can live again, and we can live eternally. I mean, have eternal life. Grayson, when you think about your own life and that hymn that I was talking about earlier, the words from the old church hymn, you ask me how I know he lives within my heart. What might be something on a personal plane that you would share with us about the hope that you have?
Yes, Dad, I know that he lives, and he does live inside my heart, and that's one of the reasons I know, because of the things he's done through me. And I was asked at an early age if I wanted to accept Christ into my heart, and because I had been to church and grew up in a Christian home, I knew that was something that I wanted to do, even though I might not have understood what that meant fully. But as I got older, I understood more and more. But certainly through the different ways that he spoke to me, or allowed things to happen in my life, is proven evident that he is real and he is living, and he's living inside of me, and as Christians is hopefully living inside of each of us and working inside of each of our lives. And we don't need to see him visually like I see you, Dad, or like I see Pastor Margaret, to know that he lives. And we don't, even though we've all been to the Holy Land and know that he's not in the grave anymore, we know because we read in the Bible and we believe those words because he lives in our heart, and he gives us faith to believe in things even though we can't see him. So, certainly we don't need to see him in order to believe in him. We can just trust by faith that he is alive.
Yes, it is by faith. I heard recently that often we think seeing is believing. But really, when it comes to faith, believing is seeing. And so when we believe, we will eventually see him. It's really a mystery that we can't explain thoroughly. But we know by faith, we will gain sight. And a lot of people would rather have evidence first. Well, there's a lot of evidence in the New Testament and in the history of this world to prove that Jesus Christ was a real person on the planet, died, crucified, was resurrected from the grave. He even appeared to 500 people one time after his resurrection. Now, that's pretty hard to deny when you had 500 eyewitnesses that knew you had lived, knew you had died, and knew you were alive again. So this is the idea that we want to have in this afterglow of hope, this afterglow of Easter, is to know that there is for us a future and a present. And he is taking care of our past. That's what I like about Easter. It means that when he came out of the grave, our sins kind of stayed in there. You know, we can leave those sins buried and we can come alive, forgiven, and as if we never sinned even. That's amazing to me. Justification is what Jesus does for us when he saves us. And I've heard it said that when Jesus saves us, it's just as if we never sinned. And so our sins are in the grave forever. But we come out with life, and the holiness of Jesus Christ can be the gift that we receive, our inheritance as children of the living, loving God. Pastor Margaret, take us in any direction you want to, or add to some of the things we've said, but keep helping us to understand the idea that hope is alive.
You know, sitting here in the studio, I've been studying a picture on the wall, and it's a picture of Jesus, and he's walking on the water, and he is pulling Peter up to stand on his feet. And I was on the phone yesterday with someone who recently lost her husband, and she's really in that dark place of grief, and she wants to come out of that. And she was saying yesterday, she said, you know, I just got this picture. She said, this picture just came in my mind of Jesus, you know, the waves just feel like they're going to overtake me some days. She said, they're big. And I feel like that they're just going to take me under. But she said, I have to constantly remember that if I reach my hand up to the Lord, he'll take my hand and he'll pull me out of that place I'm in. And that's the hope we have. That is the beautiful hope we have of knowing that Jesus knows where we are. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for us. Not only did he give us great hope, but he walks with us on this journey of life. And it was inspiring yesterday to hear her pull herself up out of that deep, dark place, seeing it's the Lord that pulls her up from there. And I'm just reminded of, you know, in this valley, we have such beautiful landscape. And sometimes when the valley can be dark and we feel like there is no hope, as we embrace the Lord, and I've found this true in my life, things may look really bleak and dark around me, but if I continue to place my hope in the Lord, the landscape changes. The sun gets brighter and the flowers bloom in more vivid colors in my life. And it's a journey. It's not always easy. But when we stick in there and we persevere only with the help of the Lord, we will find ourselves having a greater hope as we continue to journey on. And that doesn't mean that everything will be great and perfect, but it means that he's with us. And when that becomes real, and people can tell us about it all day long, they can tell us that he cares, they can tell us whatever, but until we really feel that touch from the Lord as we seek him, and he tells us that he will be found by us, declares the Lord, when we seek him with all of our heart. And when that happens, and he just becomes undeniable in our circumstances, there's nothing that will talk us out of the great hope we have.
Wow, that's just so true and so inspiring to me, just to hear you articulate that. And as you were talking at the end, Pastor Margaret, what I really heard you saying was hope means that we're not alone ever again.
Amen.
I mean, the sense is that he goes with us, even in us. I mean, he becomes our life, and then he shares life with us. I was writing some words recently. We're getting ready to have a men's retreat, and our topic this year is going to be holiness. You can't get enough of that. And Brian Charette, who is our teacher on men's retreat, he sent an email to me and said, I want you to give me some ideas about some words, holiness, sin, shame, words like that. And I really immediately went right to the list and started answering because I had stuff flowing from my mind. And I said a lot, so I'm not giving anything away by telling it before the men's retreat. But the sense is this, that he gave me the word holiness. And one of the lines I wrote about holiness was this: holiness is friendship with Jesus. And you know, really, holiness is the real word for hope.
Yes.
I mean, because we trade our sin, and that's who we are, for who he is, and he is holiness. And so when I heard you talking, I could just hear you saying almost like you understand this like firsthand, that Jesus is our friend, and that's what hope is all about, and he will not leave us comfortless, he said. The word also says that he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. So that's a pretty tight relationship there. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Pastor Margaret, this idea of hope, meaning that Jesus is with us, he won't leave us, he wants to be our friend, we are a friend of Christ?
I think it is good for us, you know, when we believe and we come to that point where we know that we know that we know that Jesus has saved us. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves, that he paid the ultimate price. The scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We have come to that place of healing, and we understand the hope. We know that the Lord is doing a work in us. He's been undeniable to us, but it doesn't stop there. There's a reason we've been saved. There's a reason that we're here on this earth. We are the church. And in the scripture, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And coming to that place, a lot of times I've heard people say, you know, we just have to be healed enough we don't bleed on other people. And we're here as the church to bring hope to the lost. And so we have to learn what it means to love ourselves. What does that even look like in the Christian life? And Pastor Carey said earlier, you know, our sin was nailed to the cross. And that's where we have to leave all of that stuff that's happened to us, being able to give that to the Lord and to let go of it brings freedom in our life. And as we learn to do that, we can become hope to those around us. The Lord wants to use us as a conduit to bring hope to those around him, to bring his love and his mercy and his kindness and tenderness to those that have been placed in our life. And so, yes, we've been saved and we embrace the great hope, Jesus Christ. Then we continue on our journey to be a conduit of hope for other people.
Wow. And that idea of Pastor Margaret, you're talking about the love the Lord your God, then love your neighbor as you love yourself. I heard it said one time, it was a great Catholic writer. His name was Powell, was his last name. And he wrote a book called Unconditional Love. Now, I can promise you, if you want to read a good book on unconditional love, you find this book. But in that book, I remember one of the statements that he wrote. He said this. He said, we cannot love others until we love ourselves. Until we love ourselves, we will only use other people.
Wow.
And when you were speaking, I could hear that in my mind. And it's not that we become arrogant about loving ourselves. It's that we know that because Jesus died for us, that has given us value. I mean, that has proven our value, really. You know, we hear this slogan all the time, a diamond is forever. You know, the cartel from Africa, they're trying to sell some diamonds. And so they got this slogan, a diamond is forever. But in the mind of God, a soul is forever.
Amen.
And so we're more precious than diamonds. We sing the song that he is more precious than silver, more beautiful than diamonds, more costly than gold. And he is all of that. But when he looks at us, he thinks we're more precious than diamonds as well, because he says a soul is forever. And so if he died for souls, then we must come to love ourselves in the way that God has loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And we respect our lives and we can see that we have value to God. People in the world may see us as having no value, but they're not the ones that judge the value of a person. God is. And so those are great words. And I hope that we can come to have a love for ourselves that is healthy and holy. And that will give us the ability not to use other people, but to love other people as Christ has loved us. Grayson, I would think by now you've got some things going through your mind. So go ahead and help Pastor Margaret and I to communicate what we're trying to say here.
Well, that last part you were talking about how, you know, our value isn't determined by what other people value us as or don't value us as. Our value is based on Christ and the value that he sees in us. And so I was thinking about how value is in the eyes of the beholder and God is our beholder, and we should always put our value in knowing that He's created us uniquely and individually, all of us, and He loves us each individually and personally. And if we were the only person in this world, He still would have sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, because, like you said, a soul is forever, and He values each and every soul that much that He loves us, and He sent His Son to die on the cross. That was the biggest sacrifice that He could have made for us. So that should just let us know how much we mean to God.
Yes, thank you. Those are good thoughts. They help us a lot. And I've been thinking as we've been talking, we're trying to talk about hope, but we keep getting off the rails to love and even faith. And that's the way it happens, because 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul concludes that great love chapter by saying, faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. But those three are always connected, faith, hope, and love. And so we've been talking about how He loves us, and that gives us hope because He does love us. And because He's proven His love to us, we should be able to put our faith in Him. So the faith, hope, and love thing sort of happens in reverse. Because God loved us, we have hope. And because of that hope that He has given us, we can put our faith in Him. And I don't think I've ever seen it quite that clearly, but I hope I don't forget this soon. Not soon at all. I hope I remember it all of my days. I want to go back, Grayson, to something you said at the beginning. You were kind of talking about Jesus and the fact that He came out of the grave. And there was something you said early on about that. Do you remember what that exact comment was when we were talking about Jesus coming out of the grave? Something about that if He had not come out of the grave, then He would have just been another dead prophet or something like that. Say that again the way you were saying it and speak into it a little bit. And then I want Pastor Margaret to make a little bit of commentary about this idea.
I was saying about how if He hadn't arose from the dead 3 days after being crucified, He wouldn't have been any different than any other so-called prophet that may have said that they were going to raise from the dead. But nobody else has ever rose from the dead except for those that Jesus has rose from the dead while He was here. He's the only person that was ever rose from the dead by themselves, so to speak, or God rose Him from the dead, but they are three in one. So that's how we find our hope in Him, because we know that His promises are true and that we can lean on them.
So Pastor Mark, when you hear all of that, a lot of roses in there. Grayson gave us a whole lot of roses. I like roses, but I like especially the fact that Christ arose. He certainly did arose the victor from the dark domain, the songwriter said, and lives forever with His saints to reign. So this idea, can you imagine your life, Pastor Margaret, if Jesus was still in the grave?
Well, if He was still in the grave, I'd probably be in mine.
Now that is a true comment if I ever heard one. I mean, can you even imagine? I mean, and that's the definition of hopelessness.
Right.
I mean, here the three of us are in this studio, and whoever might be listening in on Front Porch Talks today, here we are, and we're talking about hope and the afterglow of the resurrection celebration last Sunday, Easter. Can you imagine what this conversation would be? Even if the conversation would even be happening, probably would not. If there were not a risen Savior, if we didn't have a Savior who said, hey, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take your sin on myself. In fact, I'm going to become your sin, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die for you. And then 3 days later, I'm going to come back out of that grave, conquering death, sin, and hell. And then I'm going to give you the option of choosing hope in me, or you can just be on your own. Now, Pastor Margaret, think about that for a moment. I know you have the heart of an evangelist. I know that your heart is about outreach, reaching people with that message. That is the gospel. That is the good news. So talk to us and to anyone that might be thinking that it's a good deal to continue on without hope. And hope has a name. It's Jesus.
Well, just personally speaking into that, Pastor Carey, it takes me back to my own life. You know, when I was living without hope and I'd had a lot of religion, I knew a lot about the Word, and I understand living that life without hope, and it is hopeless. It's a constant journey of trying to find something that will fill that hole, that void that only the Lord can fill in our lives. it's a place made only for Him, and we can spend our life trying to fill that void with whatever we can see, thinking that that will be it, that thing, the next thing, when the first thing doesn't work. And sometimes we go back to the same thing over and over again, trying to fill the void in our life where only our hope in Jesus, it's the only thing we have, it's the only thing going. And I've heard the saying, may have probably heard it right here in this church, that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And that was reality for me. And it's a life that no one should really have to live. When we have the opportunity to allow the Lord to come into our life and to give us hope and healing and freedom in the name of Jesus. And really, it's the only thing going. And we really can't talk anyone into it. We all have a free will. We get to make that decision. But I would ask anybody that has not made that decision to give it a chance. This isn't about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, who comes in and takes up residence in our low-class housing. Anyway, that's how I feel about who I am, who I was before Christ. It was not a pretty picture. And the Lord came in and redeemed me as His child and set me on my feet. And if that's something today that maybe those listening have never experienced, then I would suggest that today could be the best day of your life. And so if you would like to pray with me in these moments and make that commitment to the Lord, I could guarantee you that He won't let you down. Let's pray. Lord, You know the people that are listening today. You created them, every one of them. You know them by name. You know where they're sitting or standing, laying right now. You know where they are, and You care deeply.
Amen.
You came to give us hope. And today, that hope is in the name of Jesus. And so for those wanting to accept Him today, saying, Lord, I want You to come and take up residence in my life. I accept You into my life. And we confess, Lord, that we need a Savior. And today, Lord, we believe on the name of Jesus. And I pray today, Lord, that as those listening lean into You and say, I'm going to accept Christ and allow Him to come into my life. Lord, I pray that You would be undeniable to them in these moments. And I pray, Lord, that they would find a place, if they don't have a place, they would find a place, a church to call home where they can hear truth, and they would find a community of believers to walk with. This is not a journey that we are to walk on alone, but in community in the body of Christ. And so those today who have said yes to Jesus, I pray a blessing over them. I pray, God, that You would be so real, that You would show up in their lives in undeniable ways. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And that's what hope's all about. And hope happens here today in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, Jesus Himself. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. Blessings now.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.